The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome, welcome, friends and family and visitors and everyone in between. Welcome. It's good to be back in your midst. If I have some patience with me, in case I'm a little rusty for being gone for a week. It's good to be here together, and together we will experience and encounter God in word and in sacraments and in the presence of each other. Let us begin with the words printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And I invite all those who can stand to stand now for opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your
God forgives you all your sins. The God of mercy and might strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life.
Amen. How are you guys today?
Good.
Enjoying the last few weeks before school gets back?
Yeah.
Enjoy the sun outside, because it's not going to stay sunny for long. I thought that would get along. It's not sunny outside at the moment. But, well, let me ask you a question, or let me tell you a story. A story and a question. As I said, I'm rusty. Are there things that divide us in life?
Yes.
Yeah, lots of things that divide us. And sometimes we might think there's things that divide us from God. And our story today in the gospel is one of such an account. So I have this rubber band here. Pretend that is the dividing wall. Sometimes you think you're on the other side of that dividing wall. Sometimes maybe. But what if Jesus comes to our lives? Jesus comes to this woman in our story today who is sick, and everyone thinks she's outside of God's blood. And let's just pretend we put these paper clips here. Where do you think these paper clips are from? You. Let's just say you. So we have the dividing line, we have the paper clip, and we have the paper clip. Can these two paper clips touch?
No.
No, they can't. Why? Because they're divided, friends. Does everyone see that? So we got the paper clip, the dividing line, and the paper clip. Right, everyone see? Everyone see? Right, they don't touch, right? They don't touch. But the miracle is Jesus comes, and in the love of God, we are told time and time again that there's nothing that separates us from the love. I didn't work. I knew this was going to happen.
Except you're rusty.
I think I did too fast. Well, anyways, when I pull this close, these two seemingly inseparable paper clips were supposed to come together and rest like that. Oh, what a great trend. So, if you didn't see that trick, when I pulled it up, the paper clips came together. Because there's nothing that separates us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So let us pray. On the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three.
first reading today is from Isaiah 58, verses 9b through 14. Hear now the word. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interest on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The song may be found on page 5 of your bulletin. I will read the large print. Please respond with the dark print. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's.
O Lord, you provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed.
You made known your ways to Moses and your works to the children of Israel.
Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger, love.
Our second reading today is from Hebrews 12, verses 18 through 29. Hear now the word. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, or if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hand on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Because, of course, all of our Old Testament scholars in the room will know that the commandment is simple. Don't work, rest. But neither work nor rest is defined. And more troubling from that is, what is the boundary from the point where you go from resting to working? It's unclear. Let me give you an example. High probability, some point today, I'm going to go home exhausted, lay on my couch, and cuddle up with the ferret. And at that moment, you can conclude, I'm probably resting. Now, if I decide, low probability of this, but for the sake of the argument, if I decide to mow my lawn today, at some point, you're going to be able to say, "He's working." And I will say, "I'm definitely working." But what's the point where I cross from work to rest, or rest to work? For example, I like to cook. Maybe I want to make a nice dinner tonight. That might be resting. But again, depending on what I cook, that might also be a lot of work. But more troubling, high probability today, I'm going to go surfing. Is surfing resting, or is it work?
Yes.
Yes. Well, maybe at some point, if I stay out really, really late out there, maybe go for 2 hours, at some point I'm going to say, I'm definitely working. But if I only say go out for an hour, I might say, I'm definitely resting. And thus, we enter the debate that Jesus is in the middle of. And it is filled, in the text of this day, filled with this kind of argumentation. As you see, the boundary is not clear. And so the so the ancient rabbis were debating whether you could surf or not on the Sabbath day. The argument would go something like this. At 2 hours, you know you're working. At 1 hour, you know you're not working. So let's be safe. You can only surf 40 minutes on the Sabbath. You see, you've safeguarded the boundary by making a rule. But of course, friends, this hides the truth. The truth is, and it's a truth we wrestle with in all of existence, centers are clear. The center is solid, the concept of a thing. The boundaries are always fluid. This can apply to anything. Just think of your own house. When are you in your home? Well, you might think it's that moment you open the front door and you step in. Then you're in your home, right? But how many of you, if you invited me over for coffee, would set the coffee table right there at the front door? You wouldn't. Why? Because you're not really in your home yet, are you? You've just, and the threshold. Matter of fact, you would get me into the front door and take my shoes off, and then you might say, come on in. Well, but I'm already in. No, you're not really in yet. Until you're ushered into the living room or the dining room, and you're given a cup of coffee, and you're sitting there relaxing now in your home. See, the threshold is blurry, isn't it? What's worse, if I were to go out on your back deck, maybe you have a deck or a portico or a patio. Am I in your house or outside your house? Ooh, you see, the boundary is always fluid. And the sad thing, I should say, is I think we once knew this in our culture. Our ancestral knowledge let us know this. There's all kinds of taboos and superstitions about crossing thresholds. So we knew this. We used to have a phrase, too, that is the exception that proves the rule. Because we knew rules were porous. And when we said the one exception, we always knew there was more than one exception. Remember, I before E, except after
C.
Sometimes. Well, here's a fun fact, friends. There are more words in the English language that break that rule than comply with it. And so, we've lost this knowledge. And now our polarized world wants us to do one of two things, right? Either say there's only rules, no exceptions, or let's toss out all the rules because there's no solid centers. But life is a negotiation between solid centers and fluid boundaries. The problem is, we don't like fluid boundaries. They're uncomfortable. And so the option is to create a wall somewhere on that other side. But, friend, remember, walls at the atomic level are 9% open space. And so every exception has a rule. So the only way to safeguard that new wall is to build another wall. You build another wall. You build another wall. And eventually you come to the place where destroying a human being is worth protecting that boundary. You come to the place where on a Saturday in church or a Sunday in church, you will condemn a healing worker for healing someone who is crippled. And that brings us to our gospel today. Because Jesus refuses to play this game. He takes the focus off on the boundary and puts it back in the center. What is a Sabbath day about? It's about rest. It's not about an argument on whether healing is work or rest. It's about this individual who is a daughter of Abraham, who hasn't had rest yet in 18 years, and I'm going to give her rest on the day of rest. And the argument is almost laughable, right? She has 6 days to get healed. She should find one of those days to get healed. It's laughable because do you think at any point in those previous 18 years there was any day which she could have gotten healed on that she would have? Of course she would. She doesn't have that day, but now is the opportunity for true rest. The boundary, the center. Jesus is here to restore the truth. The truth is, she is a daughter of Abraham. The truth is, you are a child of God. And here's the trick, friends. You know, we had this text a few weeks ago, your true self is kept secure in the arm of God, in Christ. Your true soul, right now, at this very moment, is united to God. Your true self, friends, is already at rest. You are beloved, held, cared for. Love into eternal life. The only thing we don't realize is that we are already resting. The commotion of our lives is the true illusion. The true reality is that Christ is in you now. Christ is already in you. So, maybe a Sabbath day is important to remember this fact. Maybe resting is important to remember that you are already at rest. We come to the table. And we are told that this is Christ's body given for you. It's not simply at this moment when you receive the element that Christ's body is for you. Christ's body is always for you. Just sometimes we need to be remembered. We need to remember someone to tell us, here is Christ's body for you. Sometimes we need to stop from our work and rest to remember that we're already resting. Sometimes we need a reminder that the work we do, the activity we do, the things we possess, we're all secondary to the truth. That God loves you. God is in you. God is restoring you. So Jesus comes. And I will close with this final point. Notice the verbs. We're talking about English words here. Notice what Jesus says. You have been. It's been a long week, folks. You're sickness, what is it?
Woman, you are set free from your.
You are set free. You are set free. You are set free. What? Present or passive tense? Completely passive, right? Terrible English. Terrible English, great Greek. You are set free. She did nothing. Something happened to her. You are set free. She does nothing. Christ sees her. Christ heals her. Christ is the one who comes. Friends, we do nothing in this equation, but Christ comes for us. Let us rejoice like everyone in this synagogue does. Rejoice that God has come for us. Amen.
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 pray for the church, the creation, and the whole people of God, for God is near. Call your church to proclaim liberation and freedom to all. Give wisdom to bishops, synod councils and staff, and congregation leaders as they pursue a more just and equitable church and society. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You inspire all creation to sing and bless your holy name. Send healing rains to parched places and relief to flooded lands. Lead us to enact policies to rebuild ruined ecosystems and habitats. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You work vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. Strengthen the resolve of world leaders and local officials in the way of love and mercy, so that all persons may experience abundant life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You satisfy your people with good things. In your steadfast love, receive the cries of all who are bent over under the weight of addiction, isolation, and mental or physical illness. Especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Dan, Paul, Dean, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, family of Dean Crack, Adelaya Neva, and her parents and grandparents, for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Manifest your healing presence in their midst. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You call us to delight in the Sabbath. Invigorate worship planners and leaders with creativity to aid this assembly in fresh and faithful prayer and praise. Enable all who gather here to be nourished and renewed. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
With all your apostles, prophets, and saints, we give thanks and bless your holy name. As they now rest from their labors, guide us by the witness of their lives to pursue your reign, which can never be shaken. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident in God's presence and promise, we entrust our prayers to the one who always receives them, through Jesus Christ, our wisdom and companion.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
I invite us all now to come back together and to please stand for our offering. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all, through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
We live and fantasy.
created all things, and whom, in whom you take delight. He is your word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot, and was shown forth as your son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He is our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus fulfilled all your will and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hand in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one handed over to death, he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve as your priestly people. Send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered together as one, let us pray as our Savior taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people of God, and all are invited to this. In a moment, the usher will come forward and ask that as you come, you fill in our communion rails from right to left. You may receive communion either standing or kneeling. Only come with your hands extended and you will receive the sign. And then reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is communion. If you wish to only receive the blessing, come with your arms crossed. Know that all are welcome to this table and all will be served. For all means all, which means all, which means all. Amen.
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 Thank you.
and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves and to proclaim your love in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
We pause now for some announcements, and I invite you to open up your bulletins for the words of the week, and there's a ton of things going on this week. So please avail yourself of any and all activities that you want. We have book club, we have barbecue, we have prayer services on Wednesday, we have beach walks on Thursday. And if you're on council, you've got council today. But I also want to just highlight briefly that in your packet, there's also a flyer about book two. And that is what I wrote about in our newsletter. And we're just asking some questions, seeing if there's interest in this group, creating a hope to you. So we invite you to read that flyer, and we invite you to have a conversation about it with someone near you, someone in the congregation. And we just, let's generate a conversation, whether or not this is a route we can sustain and go down. With that being said, let us prepare for this lesson.
I have one thing to ask.
Yes, please.
Just a thank you to the whole congregation. Thank you for your giving. This week we have gone below 100,000. Our mortgage on the church is 99,000. I wanted to thank you for your giving on that. And if you see Peggy Gilman, thank her for the nice job she's done as treasurer.
May the love of God abound in you. The grace of our Savior Jesus Christ fill your hearts. And the life of the Spirit bless you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.